spiked up. Episode 11. Darren, we may be almost into syndication, which I'm very excited about. And another distinguished guest, friend of the program, friend of mine, friend of yours, Captain America, Technical Director and VP, Carlos Bocanegra joins us on this episode. Carlos, thanks for your time. I know you're a busy man.
Matt, for you and Darren, anything.
Hey, Carlos. Good to have you on. And talking of syndication, we crashed into the Apple podcast soccer only in North America charts at number 88 last week. So things are looking up.
Pretty good. Well, you got
Carlos on the show. It's got to be top 70.
You've got only one way to go, guys. There we go.
Hopefully we'll get some more female viewership with Carlos on the show. So, I need to mention, as you see behind me and my hand, Michelob Ultra is partnering with us this week. Darren and I have to put out a trick shot on social. Very nervous about that. Darren, do you want to tell kind of what your plan is?
Well, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but where I am now, just so people can tell, a slightly different backdrop at the training ground. Now we've got full team training, so it's good to be back here. You can see I've got in the background my drink that is the world's biggest whiskey bottle that we got given as a gift from Aberdeen and our partnership. It doesn't do true justice because of the scale. Let me bring it over. It is ginormous. It is literally. So that was a kind gift from them. But I'm here at the scene. I'm going to do it tomorrow here at the training ground. And actually, Carlos, I was reminiscing about your brilliant trick shot that we did here at the training ground when we were building it. For those that don't remember, we'll have to dig it out from the vaults, Matt. But we came up with this cunning plan. I'd spent like weeks devising it, where we'd been talking about the glass that we had for the training ground, and it needed to be strengthened so if someone kicked a ball at it, it wouldn't break. So we set up this scene where Carlos was going to test out the strengthened glass at the training ground. So the idea was Carlos kicks a ball, strengthens glass, but we just put a regular pane of glass there. Carlos doesn't know that. He smashes it and we all sort of fall about laughing. It's very funny. The problem was Carlos must have took 5 tries and every time Carlos hit it, it didn't break. Oh man, it was hilarious.
That was a tough one. It was a dewy morning on the grass and I was more concerned about falling on my butt, going on my plant leg and just giving a and coming down, and yes, that was not very effective for sure on my end.
The great news is the producer of Spiked Up is Mikey Alfano, and he filmed that, and I know he still has that footage, so we will overlay during that time. So it's gonna be good.
That was a fun time, though. That was a good day.
We'll talk about that, but go ahead, Darren.
I said, make sure you get that laser drilled shot that followed after Carlos when you know.
Someone threw a golf ball.
You softened it up, Carlos, with your 7 attempts.
So, Los, we always kind of start with, you know, how's life? I think, you know, it's like we said, we started this at the beginning of all this. You know, when we got back, it's crazy that we are on episode 11. How is life? How's your family? How is quarantine? I think Darren can follow up on, you know, kind of getting back, you know, to you know, the tournament and back to the training ground and things like that. But how's the family? How's quarantine life? Now, your beard, I was expecting a bigger beard. It's good to see you.
Yeah, no, it's good. You don't have to put it on just for, the cameras. We've seen each other 10 times over Zoom calls during this this break. You know what I mean?
Just today.
Life is fine. I think, like everybody, quarantine was a little bit of an adjustment, a little bit of a struggle at first, a lot of unknowns. Then you get kind of settled into it. But it's amazing because I think since we've had our group training and just being able to go to the training ground and see the guys in the small group training or individual training from outside the field, from a distance, even wearing the masks and everything like that. Now we're in team training. Just a few trips to the training ground and a few times kind of getting in your car, doing the commute to work, starts to feel a little bit back to normal. And it's such a small thing, but you know, it makes you realize just how far off we were, how different it was in quarantine, that we were doing absolutely nothing. So any little bit of life and social interaction or getting out of your house makes a world of difference. So it feels a lot more normal now, just being able to drive into the office and interact. Obviously, we've had to do the COVID testing and the antibody testing and all this stuff. So, life is fine. It's amazing how quickly you forget. But I remember there were some tough days in quarantine.
And Carlos, I'm impressed that you've gone home, because obviously I'm still here stuck at the office. And you got three kids. I'm hiding from the twins. So I'm impressed that you went back. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm thinking back to the history of Atlanta United, and I don't think it'd be up there in my top 10 excitement, that first team training, the 11v11. You and I were both there, and we were like kids at Christmas. It was just so fun to watch the guys actually playing a game, you know, out there and just interacting and, you know, sort of feeling like there's a line of sight now back to playing again.
No, exactly. And obviously with all the stuff going on around the world, you know, it serves as, right, quarantine, the social injustice, the movement, all these things going on, you know, it does serve as a little bit of a distraction for that short amount of time going in there. But, you know, so yeah, it's been good to get there and start to get back to some more normalcy.
And what do you think, Carlos? I mean, credit to all the guys that have made it happen across the business, and particularly, you know, on the technical side with the training regime. But for us to be one of three teams that are already back in full team training, as we look now to Orlando, that's just been announced this week that we can play, you know, starting 8th of July. And we'll talk a little bit more about the tournament coming up there. But how much of an advantage is that to be able to have these teams trainings as early as we have?
No, it's huge for us. So we were able to start the individual training, the first teams to do that, which was excellent, and slowly build the guys up. Then went to the small group, same thing, first team to be able to do that. And as well with a couple of the teams now with full team training, that just gives us a huge advantage. So normally when the guys come back from the off season, it's, you know, they do some stuff around their house on their own in the gym, and you don't really know what everybody's done. You go to full team training and you hope that you have a baseline high enough to push the team and move the group along. We actually had about 4 to 5 weeks of that, of the guys kind of in and under the supervision of our staff and able to build them up. It was a tough time mentally for these guys. We have a lot of foreigners on the team. Some guys didn't have their families here. Some guys had their families here, and it's also a tough situation. We got guys, you know, struggling. How do we get groceries? How do we do, you know, how does life function, so to speak? So the mental aspect was big, and the ability for those guys to at least break that cycle of monotony in their house, not being able to do anything and even exercise, where, you know, as a professional athlete, you wake up, you eat, you exercise, you go home, you eat, you nap, and you know, it's just that virtuous cycle. So even for them mentally to start getting out, getting some sunshine, fresh air on the fields, and then now with the team training, it's a huge advantage for us, and a lot of hard work by everyone from, you know, the general counsel in the organization, to the equipment managers, to the medical staff. Really everyone across the businesses has chipped in to make sure our building is secure and safe. We have our players tested, and we're doing everything under the right protocols.
And looking forward to Orlando. I mean, we've got, this is going to go out Thursday morning. So we've got the draw in the afternoon. And I understand it's the pressure's on you to twofold, really. One, to make sure we don't get a group of death. And then secondly, I think you've got a personal interest in trying to be in the as late as we can, because your anniversary falls on July 4th.
Yeah. So I think, you know, look, the good thing is we're back playing. We know what the format looks like. We have some direction. You know, originally we were supposed to be reporting June 24th, June 28th down to Orlando. That's gotten shortened, and now we know we can arrive 7 days before our first game. So I think for myself, for the entire organization who is traveling down to Orlando, players included, we're all hoping for Group E, so we can have a few more days at home before we go into the bubble. But it's okay. Look, the guys have a good mentality. The staff's in a great spot, really positive. Players are in a good place. They know it's not ideal. We know it's not ideal, but we're making the best of it, and we want to go down there and be competitive. We want to go down there and win, and that's what this club's about.
Well, it's a 50-50 coin toss, isn't it, whether we're in Group C, I think, or E. We've got a great history. I remember we won on the coin toss for the expansion draft, so no pressure, but you know, this club's got a proud history of being successful, so we're expecting.
Can't lose, Lewis. And I'll add this. Darren picked you to put the pressure on you for this draw, and you're going to be on air tomorrow. This if anyone's wondering, we record this a day early, and then we'll post it. I hope we'll post this before the draw. A game I like to play is, can we? I don't know if you even have a speaking role in this thing or whatnot, but a game I like to play. I played it with Wes Durham and Dave Archer from the Falcons. I played it with Mike Conti. Could we, as Spiked Up, give you a secret word to get in when you're interviewed or have a speaking moment on the draw?
You can give me whatever you want. We'll see if it happens or not.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Matt. We won't make it too hard. What do you reckon? What? You know, we won't give him discombobulation or anything like that. What about cheese? It's a simple word. Just get cheese somewhere in the broadcast.
Say cheese in the broadcast.
Cheese in the broadcast, and
we can even do golden. Like something about our brick. Golden or
no cheese. Cheese.
Cheese. All right. Cheese.
Cheese in, and $50 to the food bank. I'll donate.
I'll match. I'll match.
You guys know me, Mr. Personality on air. So real easy. Real easy to get across.
Yeah,
we should have either cheese or wear an outrageous scarf, and you'll have to dig that photo up. Carlos in a scarf. Lights have gone off.
Did you not just know? This is the great Zoom life. Did you not see me while Carlos was talking? Grab my clicker to get my lights back on too. So it happens.
But this is good. Yeah. Just so Arthur, if he's watching, knows we're keeping it down. Yeah, the lights go off. Unless anyone's in. But what do you think, Carlos, to the format then? I know we've got they're calling it a World Cup style format, the six groups. Obviously, the games count towards the regular season. So I think, for me, that was really important because it does mean that these are really meaningful games straight off the bat. Do you feel like it works as a format?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's the World Cup formats. Everybody's familiar with those that have been around the soccer world. The players understand it. The fans can follow it pretty easily. For us, look, we have two wins under our belt already. So these group stage games are big. If we can, we can take all three, it gives us a great boost and really a lead out in front of the pack, per se, before we return to playing games out of the tournament format. So. Look, like I said earlier, is it an ideal situation? It's going to be tough. It's a challenge for everybody, but we're all in the same boat. And the World Cup format, I think, is something that everybody understands. So it's going to be pretty clear for the players and the fans to follow. So I think, making the best of a tough situation, this works.
And on the injury front, just for the listeners, we've got pretty much everyone back, have we, apart from Joseph?
Yeah, so, that's been the blessing. I don't think anybody wanted to be off this long, but yes, all of our guys, we had Rosetto took a knock in the Club America game, but a couple of concussions and a couple other niggles, and now everybody is back to full fitness, and we got a full squad training. Unfortunately, Joseph, he's got a longer-term injury, but he's doing well. I had a really good conversation with him the other day, and he's a fighter. He wants to keep pushing on, but yeah. So from an injury standpoint, we are in a good spot there. Now we're in team training, so knock on wood, in competition things happen, but we're getting there, and hopefully we can keep everybody fit going into Orlando.
And do you see it as an advantage, Carlos? I know we lost Joseph so suddenly. This way we've at least got time now to build, knowing that, Joseph isn't available, on how we're going to play. that hopefully should at least give Frank and the coaching staff a little bit more time to work on, you know, how we're going to set up.
Yeah, and that's something we spoke about in the downtime. Obviously, we spoke about it when Joseph did go down. We had a lot more time to think about it now. So the philosophy and style of play for this club is not going to change, and that's high intensity. You know, a lot of transition. We want to be a pressing team and an attack-minded team. But the formations and the players that we have and the personnel, where we're going to put them on the field to be most successful with the personnel we have available, that's what we'll probably see some adjustments going forward, and maybe a slightly different look than we've been used to.
Yeah. And we spoke about World Cup. Matt, I know you wanted to ask, didn't you, Carlos, before we go on to Carlos and Atlanta United, but a bit about his time with the national team.
I do want to get into how kind of we all met and our history, and you know, I think we have employee number one, employee number three, I think I'm five, and now how big we've gotten. You know, it was a fun build-up, and I want to get into that in a second, but I did, you know, I think people who tune into this, yes, they love you as, technical director and love that you got us a trophy, but also your time at the U.S. Men's National Team. Like, how special is that to you? Because I know you and I have had, some dinners and maybe a beer or two, and you've kind of shared some of your stories, but I know that's got to be special to you, and it's something that, you know, kind of carries with you and people still recognize. Can you talk on that?
Yeah, definitely did not have a Michelob Ultra with you, that's for sure.
Hey, listen. No. Delicious. Thank you for the partnership, Mick Ultra. Easy.
Yeah. No, we've never had one together. I did not get a case sent to my house, is what I'm saying.
Hey, Mick Ultra, can we get a case to Carlos's house, please?
No, it was a fantastic time. Look, again, with what's going on in the world, what's going on with our federation. Yesterday, I'm part of the U.S. Soccer Board. We voted to repeal the policy for kneeling during the national anthem. America has a very special place in my heart. There's been a lot of, not difficult conversations, but just emotional conversations over the past few weeks. And I think it's something where you learn a lot, you hear a lot of differences in. Being the captain of the country, being able to represent your country on the biggest stage, it is so special to me. And, you know, we want everybody to have an equal feeling, be treated the same across America. So I think this was a long time coming with what's going on now. I feel especially proud that I was able to represent the United States, and I want the United States that I represented to become an even better place. So that was first and foremost an amazing thing to be able to put on that jersey and represent the country, in the World Cup. And I always look back. When we beat Algeria, almost on like a walk-off home run, we had that goal that everybody's seen and ended up getting us out of the group stage. And I can't remember who came in second place in the group that year, Darren. Do you remember who was in second?
I think it was clever tactics to finish second. It was better for the sort of
to play Argentina. Yeah. Play Argentina next round.
Hey, Los, I go down YouTube rabbit holes, and I don't sleep very well. And I one of the things I always watch is like this one video on YouTube. It's like the best sports moments. And it's a great one. It makes me cry, and it's just good stuff, and it's all over the world, but that clip is on there from Algeria. But where are you in that? Because they do like the dog pile. I try to look for you every time. They show Tim Howard clapping, and then there's like the dog pile. It's Michael does the flip. Where are you on that?
Yeah, Demerit running up there from the back. He's crazy. No, so it was I was in the back. I think I just kind of fell down to my knees, and I was so tired. It was like relief, but I was like, I know if I run up there and there's any more time left in the game, I have no energy. So, but like what I was saying about that moment was how special it was to play for the national team. That moment we were in South Africa, the internet service was not great. And so as we, like a few days later, we started to see these clips around the country, saw these, what were they, the watch parties, right? In Chicago, Kansas City, wherever, all around the country. And they would like put our, the goal and like the fan fest next to each other and show the videos of it, right? And it was unbelievable because we were like, we had no idea that that was taking place back home. So you'd read about it and say, oh, you know, but you actually saw that and you're going, holy cow, man. Like with this one moment, us winning this game gave so much joy to so many people across the country and made people so proud to be American. It was a little small thing, but like it made a huge difference that like you put on that jersey, you represent the country. And that was, you know, one of my most or proudest moments, just, and something I'll always remember because it kind of swept across the whole country on an event that I was part of.
And then, Carlos, I mean, you've had obviously the biggest high in your career of having a beer with Matt Moore, but then number two's got to be Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
My favorite photo of all time.
That was pretty cool. So I knew you guys were going to ask about that. So I dug it up here. And,
there it is. That's great.
Yeah, that was back in the day when I was not drinking many beers with Matt Moore, but got to have a beer with Bill Clinton in the locker room after the game. Great guy, came in really sharp, remembered everybody's name, talked to everybody, stayed for a couple hours, and again, it was just something like, you know, outside of politics, you have the, you know, next president of the United States coming down to support you as part of the country and cheer you on. That was a pretty cool thing.
It's one of my favorite photos of all time, other than the body issue, of course, which I won't get into. But no, I think.
Oh, speaking of the body issue, hold on. Let me.
hey, Lewis, I know. I know. Your time is valuable, but I did think it'd be fun. Yeah, you know, I mentioned we'd go back, you know, in the way back machine. But and I told Darren we got to do a podcast where we kind of just. It's the building, like.
Sorry, Matt. The Wayback Machine, is that a new name for a time machine? I've never heard.
Listen, hang on.
Called the Wayback Machine.
There is something called the Wayback Machine that someone referenced on like a TV show or something. I promise.
Yeah.
Let's get in the time machine and go back.
I was in Hot Tub Time Machine. That's where you got. That's where you got.
No, but I thought, you know, when we get into it. One day we're going to do a whole, and we, you know, there's been a book written and there's been some documentaries and things on us and what we've done. And like I said, you know, employee one, employee three, we got to have employee two pat on at some point, by the way. You know, Darren, your recruitment of Carlos, I'd like to get both of your perspectives on how that went. Cause I've heard bits and pieces, but I'd love to hear how that went. And then, you know, Lois, I know like a TV star, you know, but then you became a technical director.
So I can remember a couple of things. So firstly, Lyle, who was Carlos's agent when he played, I'd done a couple of deals at Tottenham with him, including Clint Dempsey when we nicked him from Liverpool on transfer deadline day. So Lyle had said, look, Carlos is retiring. He just wants to have a chat, doesn't really know what he's going to be doing, but it, you know, would you have a chat with him? So I was like, sure. And it was when the 2014 MLS Cup final, I remember we'd got it set up, Carlos. Where was it? Some hotels on the way to the LAX.
The Hotel Bellamar in Manhattan Beach.
That was it. And so we got it set up
with Carlos.
But it was funny because it was, you know, I figured it was going to be an hour and that would give me enough time to go to the airport. And we were having a chat and like instantly we were talking philosophy of, you know, how you'd set a team up in MLS. But it was twofold. Obviously, exactly how we ended up playing, we were talking about, you know, attacking style. But it was also about the club culture and philosophy. And that was Carl's. What we were talking more about, like your time at Rangers, me sort of saying, here are some of the things that I would take from West Brom and Spurs, and you know, good and bad, and how I'd think about a club. And Carlos was sharing St Etienne, Rangers, you know, he'd been to a few Fulham, and we were just talking about that. And then the next thing I knew, I nearly missed the plane because like 2 hours had gone by, and so I remember having to shoot off. And so I'll let Carlos talk in a minute, but from my perspective, I was like, wow, that was There was just a meeting of the minds from a philosophical approach. And, you know, I was like interested, obviously I knew Carlos from playing and all that experience. And also that Carlos had started and finished his career in Major League Soccer, I think was really important as well, because he'd seen it both at the start and where it was going. And I think I was really aware that if I could, I didn't want to hire someone from Europe, because I didn't want it to be that sort of snobby mentality of America doesn't understand soccer, we're going to bring everybody in from outside. So I was just intrigued. And then the second one, and Carlos, I remember, so you flew on the red eye to come in and we were going to have like a weekend. And
yeah,
it was when Matt, the Falcons were playing Carolina and they could have won the division, even though they'd only won four games
yep.
that season. So Carlos was coming in, we were going to have a day, we were going to go to that match. And it was really just a bit more for Carlos to see Atlanta, see Arthur, see facilities. And so he'd got the red eye. It was at the Intercontinental, as it was then called, in Buckhead. And I pick him up, and my defense I always talk about is I was listening to Sirius XM and they had Talk Sport from England. So it was English voices. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. I was picking him up. So I picked him up, pull out as you go past Lennox Mall, straight into the left-hand lane, into oncoming traffic.
There was no one on the road. No one was on the road at that moment.
But I'm on the road, and then you can see cars coming. So I just brake. Carlos is like, what the hell?
Some Rob Jeffroy frosty screams coming out. Like,
yeah. I love that we got that in there, too. Yeah, listen, I remember... Darren kind of pulled me in his office and was like, hey, we're going to hire Carlos Bocanegra. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And, you know, then I get in the digital mode and we made like a nameplate for you and everything. And but then I remember Darren was like, it was me and Elena Sismerick, our comms director. We had to meet you on like a Sunday for lunch and just kind of introduce ourselves. And I could tell from day one, you're like, this guy's gonna ask me to do a lot of stuff, but it's been a fun ride, and you know, from that point on, you know, not only have you been an amazing technical director, but a great friend and a great colleague. So, and Darren, also a member of the Portland Five.
That's right. I mean, and we're dropping off, aren't we? That's the reality. I mean, yeah. We lost Rob. As we mentioned on an earlier podcast, the Portland Five get to be the judges whenever there's any karaoke competition. So it's a great honor to have. The other one I wanted to share, Carson, if you remember. So Matt, we had this weekend. So I nearly killed him driving as I picked him up. We then went to the Panthers game that was just horrendous because we got smashed like, so it was 30-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
So, you know, Carlos and I were touring the boxes in the commercial, trying to be upbeat, and you can imagine it was pretty tough. And then I wanted Carlos to meet Faith because, you know, it was a family club and it was going to be important because, as it ended up, Carlos and I spent more time with each other than our other halves for that first sort of, certainly first 2 years as we were building it up. But I don't know if you remember, Carlos, we went to the Flying Biscuit in Buckhead. So I parked by the Caribou and Flying Biscuit's over the road.
You got booted?
They have they have a sign that says you can't only park here. And I'm like, but I'm going to the Flying Biscuit, so who's going to know? We come back and the car's been booted. And the guy's there and I'm like, what the hell? And you know, I'd like to think that nowadays it'd be like, president of Atlanta United, sorry about that. The guy wasn't having any of it. We had to go and pay our money.
He doesn't even do it.
I've never heard that story.
He wasn't even the one that does it. He just like boots people. And then
Faith's
somebody
heavily pregnant with twins, and she tastes like about to drop.
Faith was there?
Yeah.
Oh. It was like, I was like, didn't this guy go to college in America? He's been here before.
I've never heard that story. That's you got booted at the Flying Biscuit.
Booted at the Flying Biscuit, you know, across the street, like the furniture store in the Caribou. And sure enough, there's like two cars in there. Darren's has a boot on it. It was great. It was fun. Okay. A lot of fun times. That Panthers game, I remember that. That was an interesting environment. But what I do remember is being able to meet the likes of Rich McKay, Rob Jeffroy, a few other people that have been with the organization on the Falcons side for a long time, and really good people, just, you know, really welcoming, like you said, Darren, family type personalities, and really sharp guys, right? So that was encouraging for me that, you know, spending time with Darren, spending time with some of these other people that are, you know, different parts of the organization, being able to meet Arthur, and it was very similar type, like-minded people. And it made me feel really good about wanting to join the organization.
That's good stuff. And then, hey, if you don't know the Portland Five, you know, the club is built on, you know, how Carlos built it, you know, and Darren built it, our style of play. We're all about unity. We're about integrity. I the five pillars, but we all
great.
Built on karaoke.
Keep going.
Best part. We're built on karaoke as well, and we established that, so it's good.
Talking actually karaoke, and it's reminding me, I'm seeing the Nashville guitar handle above me that they gave us when we had the first game. Ian Air, their chief exec, still got to sing "Welcome to Atlanta," hasn't he? Because that was the bet, and he still hasn't done it. So
yeah, that to happen.
Remind me, Matt. I need to call him out for that. Dodgy Liverpudlian.
Well, hey, Carlos, we really appreciate you joining us. And just remember, you got to get the word cheese in there tomorrow. Now, like I said, Darren, I'll let you wrap it up. But Carlos, you've been a great friend of mine. I miss going into your office and bothering you and making you laugh and showing you videos on my phone. And I miss asking you to do a lot of things, even though I still do that during this time. But, you know, thanks for everything you've done, and thanks for joining us. Like I said, I miss the office. I say that every week. I miss the camaraderie, but I do miss bothering you and making you laugh. That's the thing I might miss most than anything.
There we go. I don't know how you got lined up right next to me in the office. That was that must have been a default in the, you know, the schematics. No, good, but look, if we get to number 87 on the charts, I think this is a win for us.
No, thanks, Carlos. Appreciate it. And look, I know we're all excited about now actually having a line of sight to getting back to games. So, you know, that should be fun. And look, I mean, I think back to that breakfast at the Flying Biscuit before I had to go and unboot the car. And I bet you didn't think then you'd be unwrapping and wrapping presents with Matt Moore filming you as part of content.
I made him do what much worse than that.
I forgot about that. Trying to wrap a soccer ball or what did I do?
By the way, dad jokes are coming too. Zoom dad jokes. I got this. I'm in the works on that. So get ready.
Those were good. The players did a good job with those.
Yeah.
All right. No, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos. And hey, trick shot. Michelob Ultra. I'm going to try to meg this big animal that my kids have from Frozen, Sven. So that's going to be my trick. So get ready.
Carlos, you'll see mine tomorrow at the training ground. It's going to be a work of art.
Yeah, all right. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Carlos. Thanks, Darren. And thanks for tuning in. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. And thanks for the great words from last week. Darren's lights went off again, by the way.
That's it. I've run out of quarters, so that's it for the show.
Arthur, the lights are off. We're turning it down. Energy bill is down. So thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.